the Gospel of John, and we'd like to go to chapter 14. Gospel of John and chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, we want to invite you to turn there with us. And as you do so, we will just commit our time to the Lord and just pray, ask the Lord to speak to us afresh by the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that we can gather together in Your name to come and just pause for a moment out of the busyness of our schedules and weeks to reflect upon Your holy word. And we pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You'll speak to us afresh from Your word, that You will show us insights, remind us of deep truths. Lord, just draw us in by Your Spirit. Help our minds be focused upon You. Help our ears be attentive to what You have for us today, that Christ can have His complete way in our lives and do that good work, that transformational work that only You can do. And we will thank You and praise You for it. Lord, as we think about this coming week, we are so grateful for all those children and young people who are attending Lake Swan Camp. We thank You for the ministry of all the youth workers and youth pastors and churches and moms and dads allowing the camp to have their children and youth for a week. And we pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Father God, that You will speak to the hearts of every child and every young person and every staff person and every worker and counselor, that You'll bring them into a place where they are challenged, that they are convinced, that they even some are convicted of sin. And Lord, You bring cleansing, hallelujah, and Lord, that You will do a new work in their life and there will be commitments and recommitments to follow You and to live for You and to love You with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, we pray for safety. We pray You protect every camper. We pray, Lord, that You will just give health, allow campers not to get sick this week. Lord, we even pray for all the activities on the lakefront as well as in the dining room. Lord, that You'll just take care of everything. And Father, we will praise You. We look forward to what You are going to do. Help us to be faithful. And so, Lord, we thank You for those that are going. We thank You for Aiden and River and Delaney and Dylan and Isla and Raylan and Hope and Journey and Ben and Morgan and Nevaeh and Larkin and Christopher and Lydia. And we thank You for them. And we thank You for Scott and his willingness to take them. And Lord, and the others who are helping, we thank You for them. And so we give them to You today. And we ask Your richest blessing upon them. And so, Lord, now as we look into Your word, again, we just pray that You'll captivate our hearts and that Jesus will be exalted in our time together. And we will leave the house of the Lord saying it has been good to be together in the house of the Lord because, Jesus, You met us here. And so we come with expectancy. And we thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father's Day, wonderful day, isn't it? Should be. I don't know how I deserve this. My wife has been really sweet to me this past month. June is a birthday month for me. I know I don't look older. I'm only 46. Ha, 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 ha. Just reverse the numbers. And anyway, but she's been really sweet to me about that, and she's been really sweet about Father's Day, and I'm thinking, okay, what does she really want? She even did this. She said to me a couple of days ago, you know, I can get up early on Sunday morning, and I can go to McDonald's and get you a sausage McMuffin. I love sausage McMuffins. Yes, I know they're not good for you, but I love them, okay? I enjoy them. I think they put something in them to make you addicted to them, okay? Now I'm making you all hungry, and I'm sorry. But she said she was willing to do that. Now I said, no, 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 don't do that. So she did another wonderful thing. She made me a sweet roll this morning, a cinnamon roll. So thank you, Sue, for that. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Wonderful day in the Lord. And some of us, you know, when we think of Father's Day, we may say, man, you know, I'm blessed. I had a good father, good earthly father. Some of us may say, no, I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want to deal with it. I didn't have a good relationship with my earthly father. Well, I have good news for you. Wherever you are on the spectrum as a child, wherever you are, you have a good Heavenly Father. And we're going to look at this passage in John chapter 14 that tells us this truth. There is a songwriter, Harry Chapin. You may have heard this song. I've used it before. He wrote this song, and he and his wife wrote this song when they were having their first child. And you may have heard it, and it goes like this. My child arrived just the other day. He came in the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. It said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I had just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. That song really hits the truth, doesn't it? Sometimes we get so busy in life that the things that we should value the most because of our busyness or because of life, we often neglect. Spending time with the Father. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, he said, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Jesus said these words after the resurrection. When his followers came to him, he said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, notice this now, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Knowing Jesus means that we know the Father. In the Jewish culture, that's what it was all about. It was to know God. We are Abraham's children. Abraham is our father. Well, and it's because God was his father, so we've got an in over everybody else in the world. And Jesus came and revealed something so much greater. Yes, he is the Son of Man, the Son of God. But in him, he reveals that he and the Father are one. And he reveals the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. Well, in John chapter 14, it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's rich and thick and chocolatey. The first verse you should memorize if you're a follower of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That should be on our every morning when I get up in the morning, especially if I listen to the news. I should not turn that off and say, oh, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. in that promise is there, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to replace, to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and that you also may be where I am, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus was in the midst of trying to comfort his disciples. He was going to say to them, hey, I'm going to go away. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be with me. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And then in the passage, there's three questions that take place from his disciples. That's why the three question marks. He has three questions, and Jesus gives three answers. Here it is. The first question. We notice Thomas comes and says in verse 5, he says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. We don't have that spiritual GPS yet. We don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? Don't you love those map finders and those GPSs? Sometimes they lead you down these roads you never knew existed before. And you go and you try to find your way and you get lost, even worse. And you want to yell at your phone because it's got the map on it or whatever, right? Well, following Jesus, you will not lose your way. Because Jesus says, he responds to Thomas, he says, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you will know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. That should have blown their minds, and they probably still didn't get it. But here he is revealing to his disciples, listen, I'm revealing to you God the Father, the creator of the world. That's amazing. That's wonderful. I can know God the Father, the one who spoke heaven and earth into being, the one who made something out of nothing. I can know him because I know Jesus. God is not dead. He is alive. No matter what the world may print, no matter what the world may proclaim, God is alive and active and sovereign and in control. Christ is alive. He's risen again. He holds all things together. The Spirit has come. Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit indwells the followers of Jesus. And there's a beautiful truth, and that is this: if you know Jesus, you know the Father, and the Holy Spirit lives in. Wow, that's great news. One of our resident prominent theologians, and I hope she forgives me, but I'm quoting her today, Peggy Sellers. If you haven't checked her devotionals on our Facebook group page, please do so. They're wonderful. She says this about these verses. Jesus tells us that he is the way. He is the road, the mode, and the means. He is the route we take to go to his promised home. He is also the truth. We cannot go his way unless we go in the truth. Jesus is the life, and without him we are dead and without hope. We need all that Jesus provides so that we cannot be troubled even in the most trying of times. Jesus says that we know the way because we know him. And when we know him, then we know the Father. To see him is to see the Father. To hear him is to hear what the Father says. To experience his work is to experience the works of the Father. Listen, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. That is great news and should encourage our hearts, especially on this Father's Day. I want to know you, God. I want to know the Father. How do I get to know the Father? I get to know the Father by knowing Christ. Do you know Jesus this morning? Is there a desire in your heart to want to know him? Listen, you can seek him with all your heart and he will be found by you. He will reveal himself. You can open up the word of God and you can say, Lord God Almighty, show me who you are. And God will answer that prayer. He will. You need to seek him and trust him and let him reveal the Father to you. The other good news is that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Verse 8 of chapter 14. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be content, says Philip. Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. Show us the Father. And Jesus is probably like scratching his head, like, what? What did I just say? Did you hear me, Philip? Hello? Jesus answered, Philip, I've been with you for a long time, so you should know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father too. So why do you say, show the Father? Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The things I have told you don't come from me. The Father lives in me and he is doing his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe because of the miracles I've done. I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things I have done, and they will do even greater things than I have done because I'm going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. Then the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. Catch this. Because of the relationship we have with Jesus, we can know the Father. And because we know Jesus and know the Father, we can ask for anything in Christ's name, and the promise is he will do it for us. The Father's glory will be shown through the Son, through the answer of prayer. There is a special connection that God gives his children because we know Christ and we know the Father, and it's through prayer. And it's through the answer of prayer. Sometimes we allow apathy to get in the way. Oh, I can't pray for that request. I can't pray for that need. I can't pray for that item. Because we believe maybe deep down in our heart that Christ won't answer, that God doesn't hear our prayers. God won't hear my prayer because you don't know who I am. He knows who I am, so he won't answer my prayer. Oh. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. Then the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. As God's people, we need to gather together in prayer. We need to gather together in his name. We need to gather and gather and allow the prayer times, the prayer service, and the prayer gatherings to be the most occupied, the most filled, so that God can work in and through his people the requests that are birthed out of a burden, because we are spending time in the Word, hearing him speak to our hearts, and we declare in faith our desire for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, to push back the darkness, to declare and reveal the light of the good news of Jesus, to let everyone know, regardless of race or political affiliation or ethnicity or even their lifestyle, that God loves him, God forgives, God redeems, God will revive and refresh and renew and make the old gone. It's dead, 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 and make that new person alive, living, living, living for the Lord. Jesus Christ came to give life abundantly. Many times we live as if he didn't. God needs to move into our heart to become the people of God that God longs us to be, wants us to be. And yes, just like Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water and the storm was raging, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out of that boat. Let me come out of that boat. Jesus, it is I. Come out of that boat." And Peter took that big step out of that boat, and he was walking on the water. And man, it was great. He was walking on the water because his eyes were on Jesus. But then he noticed the storm. He noticed everything around him, and he began to sink. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we need to consider him so we don't grow weary and lose heart. One theologian says, all truth is God's truth, all life is God's life, but God's truth and God's life are incarnate in Jesus. To catch a glimpse of who Jesus is, you go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 19. Says these words, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Notice the words. The Son is the image of the invisible God. You want to know God? You want to know what he's like? Look to Jesus, the Son. Jesus is the exact representation of who he is, the firstborn over all creation. It says there in verse 16, in him all things were created. Christ was evident there. He was present. He was at work in creation. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, and so forth. All things have been created through him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's Christ who is holding all things together. Ask that of an atheist. How is the universe staying together? It's because of Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. Christ was there in the beginning. He is there. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. You want to know God the Father? I hope you do. Look to Jesus. You will see him. You will see God the Father. One theologian says, only the Father can lead us to himself, and the Father is genuinely present in Jesus. It's echoed in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ is God in complete human form, and so he has the capacity to accomplish divine tasks. Hence, if his followers know Jesus, they will know the Father as well. This is a promise pointing to a deeper revelation that will come and continue as they follow Jesus. There's more to come, right? That is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to depart from his disciples, and he's going to give them another Comforter. Philip then jumps in with that question, and Jesus tells him, you've seen the Father because you've seen me. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says this declaration, I and the Father are one. Wow. You want to know Jesus? You can know him and you will know the Father. But here's a beautiful truth. The Father will love and indwell those who love and obey Jesus. Chapter 14 again, verse 22. The third question. Lord, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, what has happened that you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and take up residence with him. My Father will love him and will come to him or her and take up residence with him or her. He will indwell them. God the Father, when you love and obey Jesus, God the Father comes and indwells you. Wow. God indwells you. His Spirit indwells you. There's the promise. That's powerful. Contemporary English versions puts it this way. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, they will obey me. Then my Father will love them, and we will come to them and live in them. Live in them. You wake up in the morning. If you're like me, sometimes you have to wake up early in the morning. You wake up in the morning, you go to the restroom, you look at the mirror, your bathroom, you look at yourself. Do you ever think, Jesus is in me? I love Jesus. I love the Father. Therefore, the Father's in me. We may not look like that. Paul says we're the temple of God. We're the God indwells those who come to him by faith, who love Christ with all their heart. Some say, well, it's difficult to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. It can't be done. That's, in essence, yes, that's true. But God knows our will. He knows that if we're willing to follow him in faith, believing and trusting what Jesus has done on the cross, dying for our sins, rising again, defeating death and hell, absorbing the wrath of God upon himself once and for all, Christ has brought us near so we can be reconciled to God. We're clothed with the righteous robes of Jesus. God the Father looks at us and he sees his Son. God the Father looks at us and sees us cleansed. God the Father looks at us and sees us whole. God the Father looks at us and sees us as his own child. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Gary Burge says this, out of love, the Father and Jesus will come to them and make their home with them. Living Bible says, look, I've been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Sometimes we say, oh, that's for the unbeliever, but it was written to the church in Laodicea. There was so much stuff going on in that church. Consumerism, worldliness, all kinds of shenanigans. And Jesus says, I've been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. I'm constantly knocking. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have a deep relationship with you. I want you to walk in victory. I want you to let go of the chains of sin that bind you, entangle you, that keep you from following me and being set free and experience the joy of heaven and the Father's love. And I'm constantly knocking at the door. I'm constantly knocking. Will you let me in? Will you let me in so that I may have fellowship with you? One internet person wrote this, if you want to know God as your Father, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what is the Lord Jesus saying to you from his word? And how will you and I respond? The good news is that Christ has revealed the Father. And if we love Christ and obey Him, the Father will love us and indwell us. There is that oneness. Jesus even prayed about that in John chapter 17. It's a mystery to us on one side, but on the other side, it should just be a blessing to encourage us. Hey, I belong to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, even as Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. I don't need to let my heart be troubled. Why? Because I belong to God. I am in Him, in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. Therefore, God is in me. Wow. It should encourage us to come and have fellowship with Him as He is knocking at the door of our heart. Are we allowing our life to be too busy? To be too busy that we don't spend time allowing fellowship with the Savior? A couple years ago, there was a true but funny little video that pointed out a person coming to know Christ and was willing to spend time with Jesus almost all the time and says, oh, Jesus, I'll meet you for coffee. And they would meet and they would talk and they would have fellowship. Then after a while, that individual got busy and would hit and miss. Maybe instead of every day, it would be 5 out of 7 and then 3 out of 7 and then maybe 1 time out of 7 and then all of a sudden, you just saw Jesus sitting in the coffee shop, waiting for fellowship. Jesus may be asking you today, I'm knocking. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to spend time with you. And as you do, I will reveal the Father, and the Father will love you and indwell in you. And then, because of that special relationship, you can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given to our hearts this morning. We thank you that Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. We thank you for the truth of this chapter that, Lord Jesus, you revealed to your disciples and us as your followers that you don't want our hearts to be troubled. You don't want our hearts to be filled with fear, but you want us to believe in you, to love you, to obey you. And therefore, the promise is that your Father will love us, indwell us, and then, Lord, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, asking for anything in your name, and you will accomplish it. So, Lord, give us that boldness. Give us that faith to obey. Give us that courage to say yes to you, to open up, and to say, Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. We know that if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And you can restore, and you can refresh, and you can rebuild, and you can revive. And so, Lord, we pray that you will do that even in our own hearts. That good work. Why? Because, Lord, you are a good, good Father. And we love you. So speak to us now as we respond in Jesus' name.